You know, sometimes I decided today to do the same message that I did this morning in Tulsa, or Broken Arrow, where, you know, it's called God is on our side. And as I look across, you know, the world, and I see all kinds of situations and troubles and life-threatening situations and challenges to people and things that we have to overcome. And actually, two Sundays ago, I ministered there, Encourage Yourself in the Lord. And then last Sunday, I did Using the Name of Jesus. I think I did that here. And then last Wednesday, I talked Living Victoriously Over Life's Troubles. And while I was gone on crusade, Craig ministered on Wednesday evening, and he talked about staying close to the Lord to be safe in the world we live in. At the school last Tuesday, Lynette was exalting the students on the name of Jesus. I think the Lord's trying to tell us something. You know, I seem to feel in my heart that he's trying to get us ready and prepare us for the days ahead, and so that we'll call upon him, draw close to him, and realize that he will protect us, he'll care for us, he'll guide us, lead us, direct us. You know, we live in a dangerous world. Yeah. Yes, you know, there's a lot of concern about what the future holds. People are always wondering what's it going to be like 4 years from now? What's it going to be like 10 years from now? And if you listen to people and listen to the news, you readily see that there's a lot of questions about life and safety. Now, some of you will remember, but when I was a boy, people were always talking about the end of the world coming. And actually, one of the things that everybody was concerned about when I was growing up was communism. Anybody old enough remember that? Yeah. The Iron Curtain, Cold War, you know. And in the houses, they were building, when they built a new house, they would build a bomb shelter in the house. Anybody remember them doing that? Yeah. Well, now we build tornado shelters. It's almost the same thing. Almost the same thing. But what we got to need to realize that people in every generation, people among the Word of God, all face different situations in the world they lived in. And so now, I want to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37-31. And Paul asked some questions that deal with the real issues of his day, and also they pertain to us today. Excuse me. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Now, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Excuse me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, as I look at this, I see five questions that concern the people of that day and also concern us. All right? Now, knowing the answer to these five questions will help us as we live down here. Now, here's the first question. Is in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, the voice translation, I've got where I read that. I really like how it says some things. So what should we say about all this? If God is on our side, then tell me, whom should we fear? Now, this question, if God is for us, who can be a distance? Who should we fear? This question is dealing with security, right? You know, security is the basic need of everybody. Everybody wants to know they're secure and safe from danger. The question is that we have to settle in our hearts is, can God really take care of us? Can God really, are we really secure? Are we really protected? Now, the Bible has several promises on this. Actually, I like to read from Psalms, actually, it's not a promise, it's just a statement. Psalms 91, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare and the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler." Now he said here, the Lord is my refuge. A refuge is a place of safety. An animal refuge is a place that animals go to, and they can't be hunted, and they can't be there, you know. And then my fortress. A fortress is something that we talk about in the military. It can't be taken. It's a fortress. You can't take it. And then he goes down here and shall cover you with His feathers. Now, of course, this takes me back to going out on my grandpa's farm, and some of you know have seen this. And in fact, we got the park over there at Raymond. We have our park and the pond, and you're always got. There's ducks there all the time, and in the spring of the year, there'll be a mama duck walking around with a bunch of ducklings behind her, and if danger comes, she makes a quacking noise and lifts her feathers like this, her wings, and they run under, and she flaps down. They're secure. Hey, that's what it's talking about here. We run under the wings. You shall take refuge. Those little ducklings are those chicks in the chicken yard on my grandpa's farm. If old hawk comes swirling around, that old hen, she start clucking. And man, them little chicks, here they would come running. And she'd hold up her wings, they'd come under, and they were safe. That was their refuge. That hawk can't come and get them. See, we need to realize that if we dwell with God and believe who He is and believe that He will deliver you, He will. But you got to believe it and act like it. I mean, just like when Pam was talking there, I mean, the devil come to you with all kinds of stuff, and you got to just stand your ground. You know, and then we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And 1 John 4:4, you all know it. The latter part of it says, the first part, you're God, little children who overcome them, because he is in you is greater than he that's in the world. The greater one lives in you. See here, actually, it's a question statement, really. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, what Paul's really saying here, in one sense of the word, is since God is for you, no one can successfully come against you. God is on your side. He's not mad at you. The truth is, if God was against you, he had already had you down. Hello? No matter what happens, God is always on your side. Now, when I was in school, we used to have, we have recess, and we'd choose up and play, choose up sides and play football. And how many of y'all remember, guys? How many of y'all guys remember us doing that? Maybe girls too. Well, you know, how many of you know that there was always one guy that everybody wanted to be on his team? Anybody remember that? Man, I was in elementary school there, Central Elementary in Garland, Texas. And Harry. Now, everybody wanted to be on Harry's team. Because Harry would have six or eight of us on him trying to pull him down, and he's still going. Couldn't, you know. And so everybody won't be on Harry's side. Well, hey, God's on your side, and they can't stop him. He can't be stopped. Nothing can overcome him. If you believe it, he'll take care of you. Now, in 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now I want to read that from the Voice translation. If he did not spare his own son, but handed him over on our account, then don't you think that he will graciously give us all things with him? Yes. Now, it's talking here, he will also freely give us all things. It didn't say spiritual things, it said all things. All things include spiritual things as well as natural. Is that, that's the way I read it. Is how about you? You read the same way? So, the question here is provision. Provision. That's a basic need. Provision. That's a basic need of humanity, is provision. And we need to settle the question in our hearts. God can provide. We need to settle the question. God has promised, according to Philippians 4:19, to supply all of our needs. Is that not correct? See, notice that God gives to his people. He gives freely, not grudgingly, not sparingly. James 1:17 in the Voice translation. Every good gift bestowed, every perfect gift received comes to us from above, courtesy of the Father of lights. He is consistent. He won't change his mind or play tricks in the shadows. You know, God gave his son to redeem us at Calvary. Now he can freely give us everything that he promised when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. See, 2 Corinthians 1:20, I've used it many times. For all the promises of God are yes. In him. In who? In Jesus. And in him, amen. In other words, it's done. So be it. To the glory of God. All the promises of God are yes. He has already said yes. Already. Now, the psalmist of old said in Psalms 37:25, he said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Now, you know, we need to learn how to believe God for all the things that we need. See, there's many people that learn how to believe God in one area, but they don't know how to believe God in another area. I tell you, Dad was always strong in faith. None of us, we get sick, we get healed. Because he walked off a bed of affliction with Mark 11:23. But now when he left that church in 1949, middle of my third grade year in 1949, man, we were struggling for a number of years. From the fourth grade to the eighth grade, we struggled. And finally, Dad come home one day and he said, okay, I've been praying. I found out what our problem is. He said, we've got to do the same thing that we do for finances that we do for healing. Say it. That's the way he got healed. How many have read his testimony? In Mark 11:23. Say it, believe it, receive it. Yeah. So then we started doing that and we came out. So many people didn't see us back then when we didn't have anything but roast on Sunday, and that's the only time we had meat. The rest of the time we had beans and cornbread, and I still like beans and cornbread. It's good stuff, you know. But you see, it wasn't until he learned that you use the same principles that he used to get healed, the same principles, speaking the word, is what got him the finances. It's what gets you whatever. See, God is interested in you. But you need to learn how to trust him and to believe that it will happen like you say it. Pam was talking, just talked about it. Now the third question that Paul brings up: who shall bring a charge against God's elect? And let's go on, read this from the Voice again. Can anyone be so bold as to level a charge against God's chosen? Now, I like this part. This is good. Especially since God's not guilty verdict has already been delivered. Oh, I like that, huh? You know, actually, this question is talking about right standing. Right standing with God. What does the Bible say? That we are the righteousness of God in we're the righteousness of God in Christ. That righteousness means right standing. We have right standing with God. See, every believer has to be assured and believe that they have right standing with God. If not, the devil can bring condemnation into their life. And Romans said, there's therefore now no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. Now, you see, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He wasn't a sinner. He became sin. He took sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. And one of the things that the devil tries to accuse you of is the fact that of your standing with God. If he can get you to thinking about, well, maybe I'm not what I'm supposed to be. No, you need, when he brings up your past mistakes and junk, you need to declare, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Hello. And in 8:33, the B part of that scripture, Paul declares, it is God who justifies and makes us righteous. We should have been punished, but Jesus took our punishment. He was a perfect sacrifice. There was a song we used to sing back, in the 70s, I guess it was. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Anybody remember that chorus? Yeah, I think we sang that back in the 70s, wasn't it? I believe that was. Yeah, I'm getting nodded heads from some of them that come into this great experience of receiving the Holy Spirit back in those days. Yeah, he paid the debt for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. Now, I want you to understand, we are able to commune with God like Adam in the beginning. Now, maybe not in the human form, but in our spirit form because of Jesus Christ. Remember, in the beginning, Adam walked and talked with God. Right? And then he sinned, sold us out. And according to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the devil become the god of this world. And so now, but spiritually, we have become redeemed. See, because of what he did, death reigned. Not physical death, but spiritual death. And that's something you need to understand when you read the word death and in the word of God, especially in the New Testament. The Bible said we were dead in our trespass and sin. Well, we weren't dead, we was alive. What's it talking about? Our spirits were dead. We were dead to God, but because through Jesus Christ, we're made alive to him, become the righteousness of God in Christ, and we can walk and talk with God. Amen. Through what? Through our prayer life. Yeah. Now, then in 8:34, who is he who condemns? Now, the voice says it, who has the authority to condemn? Jesus, the anointed, who died, but more importantly, conquered death. Now he's talking about spiritual death here. When he was raised to sit at the right hand of God, where he pleads on our behalf. Now, here, reading that from the, then here's the question of acceptance. And everybody has a fear of not being accepted, a fear of being rejected. In fact, many times people will compromise. They will do things that they don't need to do because they want to be accepted in the group. Come on now, don't look at me like that. You know that. Some of you have done it in the past when you were kids, younger. You know, now some people got the idea that God is wanting to condemn everybody. The truth is, he's made provision for forgiveness for everybody. You know, God's made a way for you to have right standing with him. You know, Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, God doesn't excuse sin. He simply solves the sin problem by leading a person to the solution of salvation through the blood of the Lord and forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God is not condemning people. Instead, he is leading them to forgiveness and righteousness. Now, we have to understand that God doesn't love the sin. He loves the sinner. He don't like the sin. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. Now, Paul answered this question in the latter part of that 34th verse. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of the Father, who also makes intercession for us. The voice translation says, pleads on our behalf. Jesus Christ becomes our advocate, our attorney. You see here. Now, let's look at this fifth question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the voice, again, I like the way it reads. So who can separate us? What can come between us and the love of God's anointed? Can troubles, hardship, persecution, hunger, poverty, danger, or even death? The answer is absolutely nothing. The question here is love. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Every person needs to be loved. You know, and Paul gives a list of things that people think will separate them. You know, trouble, hardship, persecution, hunger, danger, all that stuff. Right? But now, as we look at this, we see that God has promised to love us no matter what. He loved us before we even knew he loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Do you realize that's a past tense statement? He gave. Gave is past tense, isn't it? Give would be present tense. Hello. Since God already loves the world so much that he made a way for us to be his children and loved by him, then we need to realize that our response to this question of who can separate us from the love of God, because the Bible says God is love. The Bible says that he never changes. He's the same all the time. So, now what can separate us from the love of God? The answer is in the latter part of 35. Absolutely nothing. Amen. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from God's love. You need to point at yourself and say, nothing, nothing can separate me from the love of God? Nothing. See, when we get a hold of some of this stuff and really begin to look at it and live our life from the viewpoint as we face all of these things in our daily life, look, God has already told us right here that we don't have to worry about it when we're in Christ, that is. Also, now, we need to face it from the viewpoint of verse 37. Yet in all these things, we've been talking about them, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yes. Now, I like this. The voice says, we will also taste victory through him who loved us. The New English Translation says, we have complete victory through him who loved us. Now, I like the complete Jewish Bible. The complete Jewish Bible here. We are super conquerors through the one who loved us. Amen. See, we have some stores, but we got some super stores, right? Yes. What's that mean? That means it's a whole lot better. We are super conquerors through him who loved us. The common English Bible says we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. You see, we need to live our life from the viewpoint that God has already taken care of everything. Here he is. He has given us security. He has given us what? What's next? What was the next one after security? Provision, you got it. There you go. Now, what's the third one? Right, standing with God. That's right. Now, what's the fourth one? Acceptance. There you go. And what was five? Love. Now, then it goes on to say that in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. In other words, we have a superabundance of all of that stuff. Now, you know, some people, they're always struggling, trying to get victory. What are you trying to get victory for when you're already a victor? Victorious, it says so right here. We always taste victory in Christ. Hello, come on. See, what we need to know that we live our life based on Christ's victory, not on what we can do. We need to look at every situation from the viewpoint that Christ has already obtained the victory. You know, too many people get caught up in the trap of trying to whip the devil themselves. By yourself, you're no match for the devil. However, with Christ Jesus, the devil's no match for you. Come on. See, hey, you may not, I may not know what the future holds, but I keep this in mind. With Christ, I'm already a victor. I don't know what tomorrow, I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, but I can tell you one thing. With Christ Jesus, I come out on top. Come on now. See, we don't need to be afraid and anxious about anything. All we need to do is really believe what the Word of God says and walk in it. I mean, you know, Pam there, that lady stole her dog. But she started saying, hey, that's my dog. God cares about me. She started using her authority because she's a victor in Christ Jesus. And the dog came back. Hello. Amen. You know, God is on your side. You know, just like when I was there in Central Elementary, everybody want Harry. Well, hey, we all got God. So we can't be defeated. We win through Jesus Christ. Everything that he did on Calvary, it's for us. And we can walk victorious. Amen and amen and amen. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Glory to God. I want us to stand. We're going to sing a little song here. You got that song? All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. According to his word, I have what I heard. Oh, victory today is mine. Come on, sing victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Oh, victory today is one more time. Victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Does anybody need to receive healing tonight? Anybody want to be prayed for healing? If you do, come on up here. We'll pray for you. I usually ask if anybody wants salvation, but I looked around the room and I know all of you, so, and I know you're all already born again. So, but we're going to pray for our sister here in the name of Jesus. Everybody reach your hands out toward her right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that these knee problems will be done away with. In Jesus' name, I thank you for completeness and wholeness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be healed. In fact, somebody else won't be prayed for? Come on right here, honey. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Both of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the healing power of God to flow into these bodies. Drive out sickness and disease. I thank you for healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got a testimony today. You know, 2 weeks ago, you know, we were in Alabama and then in Georgia in Crusade. And a man brought a handkerchief and had it prayed over. Took it to, I don't know, it was one of his relatives. And they said that the cancer had spread all over his body and that there was nothing that could be done. Call all his people in and so forth and get everything ready to go. Well, they took the handkerchief to him and they put it under his pillow and he began to thank God for healing. And so they did one of those CAT scan deals to find out how much it was growing and how much it was spread, because it was spreading really fast. When they did the CAT scan, they couldn't find no cancer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Well, next Sunday night, we're going to do it all over again. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hey, y'all might invite some of your friends. Bring some more people. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, but we are maintaining we used to be up and down like this. How many of you noticed that? How many of you noticed in the last few months we are maintaining a group? You know, I tell you what, you know, starting a church ain't as easy as it used to be back in the 80s. When everybody is hungry for God. But hey, we're going to keep going. We'll be right here. Praise God. Invite somebody. Tell them, hey, you know where. Hey, you can have all weekend off and come and have Sunday morning on Sunday night. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday night.